Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are. We'll be airing this. I think it's Monday, January 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And we've noticed, by the way, that your Christmas tree's down.
Finally, yes. Now, in real time, I will say I have been working really hard this week to get it taken down because we're taping this towards the beginning of January. And it takes a long time to get the decorations down at my house.
The good news is it's beautiful when it's up, and the bad news is you got to take it down.
I know, right? Every time I'm taking it down, I'm like, why do we do this? Why? Okay, remember the joy, remember the fun, remember how much everybody enjoyed it. And and then I muster up the strength and get it all down. But boy, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, we, same thing. We have our grandsons home from college.
Mm-hmm.
Linda and I, this is something that Linda wanted to do. We have a fairly long driveway and we have these light poles and, you know, kind of short evergreen bushes. And she said, I really would like, you know, lights out there, you know, okay.
Right.
And I said, well, I'll buy them and you and I can put them up, you know, and she said, okay, I'll do it. And so we did, you know, and fortunately we did it, back in November when it was warm.
Right.
Well, you know, now that Christmas is over, you know, the boys said, hey, do you want us to take those down? You know, and yeah, you know, so they've.
Oh, nice to have them in town to do that, right?
So they did that. They took care of all the outside wall. And now, but we still have our trees up.
Yeah.
And the next, before they take off, that's the end of this week is, hey, boys, help us take those down.
Right.
Because
you
know how much work that is. You know?
Oh, it is so much work. It is so much work. Yeah. So, we actually, this year, our outdoor, you guys know that Dan puts up a ton of outdoor lights.
Yep.
New Hampshire is probably not, I'm not exaggerating when I say it's probably easily been 10 years since we have had the kind of winter. This is the kind of winter we're having right now that we used to have when we first moved to New Hampshire.
Are you saying it's cold and snowy?
I am saying it is cold and snowy, and it has been. Christmas Eve, we had a white Christmas Eve, woke up to snow Christmas morning, had a white New Year's Eve, there's pretty much been snow every week. So all of that to say, you know, Dan's in my hard work of getting the lights up in October. Of course, don't turn them on until after Thanksgiving, but put them up in October. And usually I will actually even hit the outdoor lights coming down before I do the indoor, trying to beat the snow. Because once it snows here, sometimes it just doesn't, that's the end of it. And you're not going to get it off till April.
Yeah.
And I could not beat it this year. We have had so much snow and ice already that, those lights are on for a long, we're not turning them on, but those lights are on until the big melt off in March or April.
Yeah,
so
that's funny. I know you put up your new beautiful porch that Linda and I got to enjoy. Did you do any lights out there on the porch?
We did. Oh, it's so cute. We put some lights out there. We didn't overdo, put some lights around the area where the steps come up, had this like lighted garland on it and had a big Christmas tree. Actually, we're leaving the Christmas tree out there and just taking the bow off of it for the winter because I can't put the little hammock swings back right now anyway because the weather wouldn't be good for them. So it's just kind of fun ambiance to have the tree out there lit up and just white lights when we're sitting out on the porch swings. And we have the old little couch pillows and we have a sled out there and a little Santa's mailbox. So it's very quaint. But that being said, to sit out there right now, you have to go with three blankets, turning on both heaters, and then Dan still looks at me and says, you're crazy. but I still have to be out here just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we've been, obviously we're heading toward the last week or two of our series on forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of feedback of people that are really, you know, following it and dealing with it. Unfortunately, and I think this is why Christ made it such an important point, is that because we live in a fallen world with self-centered people around us, is that people that are either making us angry because of unrighteousness or things that they've done that aren't right, or just so self-centered that they don't care how the impact of us, and they're hurting us in some way. And I believe, and I think this emanates out of the very nature of God himself, because there's a lot of times in scriptures where he says, you know, he was angry. And I think that emotion is part of the image of God, and it's built into everybody that when the what we call the line of justice is crossed, that there's a reaction to that.
Right.
And I think it's purposeful because God says, and when we talk, we're going to talk about this, about resolution, is you have experienced injustice. You have experienced somebody crossing a line that isn't right. And God says, I have to set that straight to bring you back to freedom so that the resolution is I've worked that through to a point where I'm free of the outcomes that are happening, which, you know, and we've talked about, you know, the process, which is starting with number one is forgiveness, is that somebody's hurt me. I have a right to be angry. And that's why, by the way, it says in scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, be angry and do not sin.
Right.
And it's like anger is a actual, interesting enough, it's a very healthy emotion because it drives us to go to freedom. And again, there's all kinds of sources of anger. You know, it could be that, you know, I'm under great stress. And something little happens, you know, and I blow with anger because, you know, my own life isn't at peace.
Right.
And it could be just all about, you know, my lack of doing something, you know, that for me, the, and I've had to work on this my whole life, and I'm getting pretty good at it, but, you know, I tend, because I think I can, which God says you can't, but I tend to overschedule. And overscheduling can be putting too many things on the calendar today, particularly if I have to drive somewhere to go there. And instead of recognizing that, you know, I can't put that fourth thing in today, I got to have the space, particularly because of, you know, in traffic, I got to give myself time. Well, if I don't give myself time, now I'm stressed because I've got to get to this meeting, and it almost invariably happens. I'm late, I'm stressed, and every stoplight is red, you know, and I have a natural, you know, anger, just in general. It's like, oh, that, you know, I'm frustrated. You know, God says, well, you're causing your own anger because you aren't listening to me to put your margin in a proper place, right. You know, so there's all kinds of reasons for anger that we have to deal with. And a lot of it generally is my own perspective of stuff, you know, and it's about my heart. It's really not about somebody else, but a lot of times it is what I call, you know, righteous meaning because somebody has crossed the line of justice. They've hurt me. They're hurting me. They're controlling, they're manipulating. They did something that wasn't fair, that wasn't right. And we all experience that all the time.
Right.
Because of self-centeredness. And so God says, well, let me resolve it. So first, he says, in order for you to attempt reconciliation with somebody else, you have to start with forgiveness, which means I can be in the same place that Christ is, because he said, I've already forgiven them. And they haven't resolved it yet for you. And they're not reconciled with you. But forgiveness is me toward them, and it's my heart with your heart, and you need to stand in the same place I am, which means I forgive them on the basis of what Christ did for me at the cross and gave me the opportunity to reconcile with him. And of course, then I have to deal with truth to reconcile. He said, so I've forgiven everybody, but I'm not reconciled with everybody because it takes two parties.
Right.
And I can't change the truth of that. I'd like to reconcile with him, but I can't change the truth of that. So he said, first of all, you got to go to forgiveness. And what that means is that I can be now in a conversation with that person and treat them with honor and respect with no hard energy and anger and attack and trying to manipulate them or persuade them to do anything. And that means I, at least I have freedom in my heart I don't have reconciliation or resolution yet.
Right.
But I can at least talk to them with honor and respect. And that's really the definition of that. And you kind of know whether you can or not. And it usually it's when you think about that person, you know, what happens emotionally.
Right.
To
right.
you, you know, because if you're riled up,
you feel that turmoil inside,
yeah,
then you're not there turmoil, yet.
I really don't even want to talk to that person. I don't want to be around them. I'm mad, you know, and they deserve and all of that's true. But God says, well, you have to work through forgiveness on the same basis I do. And what we want to keep reminding everybody is it's not something you go do. It's something that you have and God will give you that.
Right.
My nature will give you forgiveness. And all you have to do is stay with him in the word and processing that, even under the toughest situations.
Right.
You know, and I've had it too. I think I've shared some, but you know, I've had a few. And, you know, I learned this with my mom early meaning, you know, 30, 40 years ago about forgiveness. And it took a while, by the way, because I didn't know it and I didn't really want to, you know, and God kept saying, well.
And even when you know it, it still works sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, is that, you know, well, if you want to live a life of freedom, you're going to have to learn that. One, and two is you do. There is another truth that you need to understand is you got to honor your mother and father. And that's tricky, by the way, because your mom's, you know, whacking me and our kids and stuff. And so I had to work through that. It took a while. And I recognized that the way I received it was I just stayed in the word with him until I got it. It's kind of interesting, you know, and you struggle with it. Yeah,
right.
But I finally got it, you know, and I understood it. So then once you have learned that, it becomes easier to keep living that way because you recognize the simple truth of that and how to do it. And that is,
right.
Well, I'm really mad about this. I don't have forgiveness. No, I don't want to talk to that person. Okay, well, come spend time with me, God speaking. Mm-hmm. You've already done this. You already knew this. You already learned this. It'll be easier for you just to stay with me and I'll give it to you. You know, and he does.
Right.
And I've had a couple of.
And you recognize the beauty of what that freedom feels like, too.
Okay.
So that's
what,
part of the
when you
driving
say that,
factor.
What do you think in there? When you say that, the beauty of that freedom, what does that mean?
So, like, when you are, you know how miserable you feel when there's unforgiveness sitting in your heart, right? I mean, we all know what that feels like, and it's icky. It's just plain icky, right? But then when God walks you to that forgiveness and you really have gotten it, you do experience a freedom in your heart, a freedom to love, a freedom to interact, a freedom from what all of that junk was, right?
Yeah.
And you're able to walk in that freedom. Well, once you've experienced that, then you get hit again with something else and unforgiveness comes in. You can pretty easily spiral right back into all the ick, all the muck again, but you have a memory bank now of, wait a second, the last time this happened and I took this to God, he walked me into freedom on the other side of it.
Right.
And I was able to interact, to love, to live in joy, even in the middle of this, because of how he walked me through it. I want that again. And so you kind of, it's a learning curve, right? And so you're like, I know he did it before, so I know he can do it again. He's faithful. He'll take me to forgiveness. So you walk with him. Then the next time you've got two experiences in your bank, the next time you've got three experiences in your bank. And the more you experience that freedom, the more you desire that freedom.
Yeah, because you know, that's where you have to go first. And there's times, you know, even years later where, you know, somebody, and I've had this happen to me, pushed my button and it really bothered me. And normally I was, no, I understand. I'm going to go to forgiveness. I understand the process. And at that moment, it was just a little bit difficult, you know, because, and then interesting enough, as that happened to me and I recognized it, that, wait a second, I know this, but I'm having a hard time getting there, you know, and the question doesn't, interesting enough, doesn't become, what did they do that caused it? God says, actually, this is about your heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that hit your heart that is a new, kind of a new thing that I want to heal up, that I'm going to have to show you what that button was that was pushed. You know, and this is about you, you know, okay. So I spend time on that and you get the freedom. But like you said, it's something you practice. And because of the nature of our relationships, we're going to be in that situation all the time.
Right.
That we have to, okay, somebody hurt me. Somebody crossed my line of justice, makes me mad. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. They're manipulating me. They hurt me. Okay, let's go to forgiveness. And you do. Mm-hmm. Then the next question is, now that you have given your heart to forgiveness, And you could talk to that person with honor and respect. Let's go to reconciliation. And he says, reconciliation is that it's required two parties to deal with the truth. Okay, so if I've hurt somebody, and sometimes that's true, then God says, I want you to go and you initiate reconciliation and say you're sorry. And what do we need to do to get this right? And this is on you, and you have to go approach it. And generally speaking, you'll get there because somebody will receive that. Sometimes they don't, but most of the time they will, and you can reconcile. Now, when somebody's hurt you, and most of the time, see, they're not learning the same thing you're learning.
Mm.
So they haven't gone to forgiveness. They haven't even thought that they need to do anything different. And it could be that because of their self-centeredness and their own turmoil in their heart is actually they're just really skilled at pushing blame every place else but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't care, you know, so what? You know, that this impacts you. I want to keep manipulating you. So he says, try to reconcile. And what that looks like is, you know, would you be willing to sit down with me and work through something that has occurred that has hurt me, and I'd like to talk to you about it. You know, and they and generally, ideally, they say, yeah, okay, now this is what happened, and this is how I felt, and this is the impact it had on me. Do you understand that? You know, and the other party, you know, do you have anything you want to say about that? And sometimes they say, oh, I didn't even know that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that happens between Linda and I. You know, she can say, hey, I'd like to tell you, talk about something that you did. And she describes it. And this is, and she's learned how to do it well.
Right.
She doesn't attack me. You did.
Not in attack mode.
No.
And
it's
not
just,
you always.
That's right. this is what happened. And this is the impact it had on me. And this is why it was, you know, either unjust of you or something you did hurt me. And I'm listening. And of course, I've learned because I have a heart to go to reconciliation. I'm listening to what she's saying, you know, and then she says it. And a lot of times it's like, oh, you know what? I didn't even know that that's what I was doing.
Right.
I thought I was operating normally, which because I'm zipping by, you know, and I'm not paying attention, you know. And yeah, she said, that's the problem is that, you know, you were not paying attention. And, oh, okay, sorry. I didn't intend that at all. I'm so sorry what I did. I'll work at that. And just even that statement to her that it wasn't purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And she can appreciate that. It's like, well, that's good. I'm glad that you didn't purposely do that.
Right. But we still got some work to do, so it's not a repeat thing.
Yeah. That's right. But we have to reconcile to, you know, are you sorry for what you did? Yes. Two, you know, let's discuss so that it doesn't keep happening or doesn't happen again or how it works, you know, the next time, you know, and we will do that. And this could be a back and forth thing, you know, so that it can be even how you did something. She could be upset with me, you know, at something I inadvertently did. And then she, you know, she, let's say, hammers me a little bit and I can say, okay, I can appreciate that. But it would be better if you came to me and said, could we talk about this in a calm and reflective way? It'll go a better way than you just being, you know, mad. And so it's a back and forth thing, but we have a heart to get there.
Right.
To get to reconciliation. And why? Well, because we're processing the truth. And if she comes to me and says, I'd like to talk to you about something, I have to recognize that it happened. And I actually, and I had to work on both of us with this, is don't compromise the truth just to make me happy.
Oh, that's important, right?
Because, you know, and this is where, again, because of our backgrounds and because of how we function, there's a lot of us that work toward avoiding conflict. And in order to avoid conflict, I'll just sugarcoat, yeah, okay, you hurt me, but okay, so what? And you let it go and you don't really deal with the truth of it.
Right.
And we both had to learn, no, reconciliation, and think of reconciliation with Christ. You know, what's the truth? We have all fallen short. We deserve his wrath. And opposite of us coming to reconciliation, we will spend eternity literally separated from him in hell, unless we receive that he died on my behalf, took the penalty on my behalf, and was resurrected, offering me the opportunity to receive that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And what he says is, I am the way, the life, and the truth. I can't alter that truth.
Right.
In order to reconcile. So he says, don't get that backwards. If somebody's hurt you, you have to process, if they're going to get reconciled with that person and that person with you, you have to stand on that truth until they say, I see it, I understand it, and I'm willing to, you know, process it. And so Lynn and I work hard at, don't compromise the truth just to avoid the conflict or to lessen it, but rather talk it through, process it through, stand on that truth until that other party, you know, recognizes it. And of course, it's how you do that.
That's what I was going to say, is a little bit of a thought on that. I think sometimes people, even just hearing what you said right there, stand on that truth until the other party sees it. Some people will take that as a free rein to, oh no, I am hammering my truth and I'm not leaving the room till you agree with me.
Yeah.
And there are people who are really good at trying to wear you down that way.
Yeah.
That is not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And interesting enough, you are reversing the problem. And that is that, you're not really allowing that person to deal with the truth. You're just forcing a behavior,
right,
that they haven't really processed. And then for the sake of just, okay, I want to end this conflict. Okay, fine.
Right.
All right. I'm sorry. And okay, yeah. I won't do it. But it really hasn't gone anywhere. And you're not really reconciled, because remember, reconciled is back to pure peace, pure,
right,
you know, togetherness of it. And exactly what you said is that, I can't use that to demand anything. Rather, I have to just keep sharing to say, here's what happened. Here's how it affected me. Here's what's going on. Do you see that? Do you understand that? And ideally, if the other party has a heart to go to reconciliation, that they will stay with you to say, you know, keep helping me understand it. Oh, okay. I do see it. You know, yeah. Gee, I am sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Or yeah, I did become more self-centered there, and I'm sorry for what I did. You know, how can we make it right? And
right.
Generally what I do is, if somebody's saying that to me, I'm so sorry, like with Leyland, I'm so sorry. What would you like me to do differently to make this right? And maybe it's just what we call a one-off.
Right.
Is, you know, just, I'm glad you recognized it. You know, I'm good. You know, no problem, let's go. Or, hey, this is a pattern of yours, or this is something that is deeper than this. And we got to go there to understand, you know, the outcome of here. And in the future, I don't want to be in that same position where you repeat it. And you got to do it again. You got to talk it through and talk it through and see, and think about what we're saying. If you're going to reconcile, it takes time. And it takes discussion, and it takes calm discussion. Ideally, both parties are willing to go at with a goal of what? Admitting what I did was not right. How can I make it right and make sure I don't repeat this again, so that you're happy and feel good about it, and we're quote reconciled,
right,
which means in this is the definition of reconciliation. It's over, completed, and really released, where you really don't even think about it anymore. And you know, it's not a residual thing. It's not partial. It's not, but I don't think you're getting that, or I don't think you're really going to be honoring the whole thing. It's no, it's really done. It's really reconciled. It's over with. I feel good about it. On both parties, we've dealt with the truth. The person this hurt feels good about it. And we're released it, so that tomorrow, next week, next month, we never bring it up again, and we never talk about it again.
That's a key part right there, because I do think that is where a lot of people fall short in it, is they feel like they've gone to the forgiveness part, but then they continue to bring it up. And as soon as it is repeated, then it is rehearsed again in their mind. It is a new thing, almost a new thing to forgive again, because they're not continuing to move past it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it is a repeat, that's another occurrence. And it may say that we really haven't yet gone to full discussion of what has to change, because, you know, we did reconcile in the last one, but this shows that it's a repeat scenario. And there's something deeper here that we need to understand. You know, like, for example, and I've used this before, if I was late picking up Linda, and let's say I'm late and we work it through and sorry, you know, et cetera, and we're good. And then a week later, I do the same thing.
Right.
Well, see, she would say, you know, Rich, obviously there's something deeper here.
Right.
That we need to process, because you're repeating a pattern is hurting me. And I know you're sorry about it. And I understand that, but we've got to deal with what's underneath it all, which in, you know, in my case could be you're overscheduling.
Right.
And so let's go deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, I'm the recipient of that, but you are the one that's actually suffering because you're overscheduling. So let me help you go do that, which will help solve my issue. And see how it works. You know, you just keep going, you keep going, you keep going as you process it. So we want to, as we talk about that, we've kind of set it up as here's what's ideal, and God has set that forward of ideal is, you know, we're ambassadors to, and this is in 2 Corinthians 5, we're ambassadors with a ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And that is to let's talk, stay with your truth and help somebody see what they've done, help them naturally say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I did do that, and I'm sorry I did that, and what can I do to make this right? That would be ideal.
Right.
And what we want to do is in our next sessions here is to get into, well, what do you do when that doesn't happen with all kinds of reasons why you never get to the reconciliation piece of it? Unfortunately, that's a lot of our situations. So we're going to kind of go through those scenarios. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us the beauty of what it looks like to ideally live in freedom with us going to forgiveness, having a desire and an interest in talking to somebody with honor and respect to come to reconciliation where they do see what they've done is wrong and are sorry for that, and that they want to make it right. And we work it until it feels good to make it right. And we say yes, and then we've released it, and we're no longer carrying any residual hurt and anger, but rather freedom. And then help us understand what do we do in these tricky situations that we'll process next. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. I am looking forward to continuing this conversation. And just a reminder to everyone today, as we are processing more and more on forgiveness, we never look more like Jesus than when we're walking in forgiveness.
Yeah.
That is, you know, when Rich quoted that verse about us being ambassadors of reconciliation, ambassadors in forgiveness, that is, we are representing Christ and we show his heart to a lost and broken world. So it's a big deal what we're talking about here. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.